Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure. Continue to be with you. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. And, you know, folks, I promised you that Brian Carney would be on the show this half hour. And we had a little bit of trouble catching up with him in the first segment, but he's here now. Brian is a London-based member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, my favorite newspaper on the planet. And he's also the editorial page editor of the Wall Street Journal Europe. He's the co-author of Freedom, Inc., and he's a member of our Brain Trust. We're happy to be able to say that. Brian Carney, welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you back. Brian, before you got here, I was reminding the audience about the debate that we had about 10 or so years ago over what to do about our own tax system here, whether to scrap the progressive tax system and move to a flat tax or maybe a value-added tax. But in those days, it was either or, not both and. And during those days and since then, I've spent some time in Europe, and I've seen what they have over there. They have income tax, and they have the value-added tax on top of that.
That's right.
My biggest argument with value-added tax back when we were having that debate 10 or so years ago was that you can only really justify a value-added tax in America if you repeal the 16th Amendment, which was passed in 1913, which allowed the government to levy income tax on its citizenry.
That's right. I think that's dead on. I think that what you see in Europe, Milton Friedman used to say that, you know, the relevant political debate is not how much government spending, but how much the government can spend above what it can take in.
Right.
And if you add a value-added tax, you know, 20%, as is typical in a lot of Europe, 15 to 20%, that's not going to make the deficit go away. That's just going to give the government
more
capacity to spend.
That's
and
right.
It means we're going to go from, you know, 20-something percent of GDP being spent by the federal government to 35-40% in the blink of an eye, and they're
right.
just going to pocket that. And we've seen this with the debate over health care, and after the financial crisis, you know, government spending went way up, and, you know, the government right now has just pocketed all that excess spending and
right.
kind of built it into the baseline, and now we're going to spend that much as far as the eye can see.
Well, and you know, it's even worse than what you just said, because we know that the government went into the Social Security Trust Fund and stole, in my opinion, what was it, about $4 trillion, something like that, trillions of dollars, and left IOUs where the money used to be.
Right.
And now, as we know, as of this moment, the Social Security system is paying out more than it's taking in, and it has no reserves because these politicians stole that money and spent it. Now, if they'll steal money from what's essentially a child's piggy bank, in my opinion, it's the equivalent on the government of a child's piggy bank. If they'll steal that money, what will they do with legally raised taxes?
There's two funny things about that Social Security thing, right? One is that they say it's not really in deficit because it owns all these government bonds, and the government bonds pay about $100 billion in interest to the trust fund, right?
Yeah.
But that interest is fictitious, right? Because there's no money in the trust fund. As you said, they've spent
right.
the money in
right.
the trust fund. And to say that they're owed interest is just to say one part of the government now has to pay back another part for a promise that they made for which they've already spent the money. And they say, yes, there's between $3 and $4 trillion in this trust fund, and the trust fund is supposed to continue to
yeah.
grow. But there's no money there. That money
that's
is
right.
just money
it's been
that
stolen.
The rest of the government owes to our retirement program. That's
exactly right. And so, see, I'm, you know, I keep whenever I hear very much about our Congress and administrations as well, I keep thinking about that comic book I used to read when I was a little kid called Bizarro World. You know, where everything is opposite, and people accept
right.
that. People accept that when you run the vacuum cleaner, it spits garbage out into your floor instead of sucking it up into the thing. You know, that's what happens in Bizarro World.
No, and so, if you look at what's going on in Europe right now, right, we just in the last few days, we've had some news on Greece. I don't know if you or your listeners have been following this, but Greece is having a lot of trouble paying its bills, and there's a question whether other European countries are going to step in and bail out Greece. You know, Greece spends between 40% and 50% of its economy to support its government, and it's got much higher tax rates than the U.S. that kick in at a much lower level of income. It's got a big VAT, and it still can't pay its bills. And the question is not just, you know, is Greece going to get bailed out? But there's Greece, and there's Spain, and there's Portugal.
Right.
Italy is the third largest debtor country in the world after Japan and the U.S.
Yeah.
And Italy has problems, too. All these countries have that. They have very high marginal rates that kick in at a level of income that we would consider middle class, and they still can't pay their bills. So the problem is not, you know, do we need another tax? If we have another tax, that money is going to get spent just like the Social Security money has gotten spent. You know, and another one, sorry to go on a bit, but now there's talk we need a bank tax, right, to earn back the money that we spent bailing out the banks. On a certain level, that has a visceral appeal, right? Because I hate the fact that we gave all this money to the banks. But that money's just going to get spent, too. It's not going into some fund so that we can save the world next time. It's going into some fund so, you know, Barney Frank can keep his constituents happy.
Well, folks, this is the thing. We're going to take a quick break here, Brian. But folks, this value-added tax, as Brian has very ably pointed out, is not going to solve our problems. We can only allow a value-added tax to happen if it replaces the current system. If America winds up with more than one system of taxing us nationally, we're headed down the same road as Greece. We'll become Greece in 10 years, 20 years. Quick break, 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Brian Carney is our guest. We'll be right back. Seven till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. The book is called Freedom, Inc. It's co-authored by Brian Carney and Isaac Goetz. And Brian is with us right now. He's in England, in London. He's in charge of the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal Europe. He's on the editorial board of Wall Street Journal. And we're talking about, I want to come back, Brian, to the value-added tax. You've given us a good tour of what happens in Europe, that the value-added tax didn't solve anything in Europe. All it did was give politicians more money to spend. And in the United States, folks, I'm concerned, Brian, that we are headed toward a recommendation by either the Deficit Commission or by somebody that we should add a value-added tax on top of what we've got right now, in the form of 1% or 0.5% or some little teeny tiny number that we all know will get ratcheted up over time. If we do that, Brian, that is a nightmare waiting to happen for America that will make the Obamacare bill look small.
That's true, and it doesn't matter what level it starts at, because VATs are so efficient at raising revenue that politicians get addicted to them and they start raising them. And the way they operate in Europe is they're invisible to consumers, right? Because, you pay a sales tax in the U.S., they always add it on at the cash register.
Right.
Here, it's always built into the price, so people don't even know if it's gone up or gone down very often because the prices are just the prices.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things about
I want to make sure people understand, because I don't think we've explained this yet. A value-added tax, folks, is a little tax that's added into the production and the distribution of goods along the way, along the development chain of a good, and it's built into, as you say, it's built into the price. And the main thing I want to point out, Brian, is that it starts out with the first penny of production.
Right.
So everybody. It's disproportionately harmful to poor people, isn't it?
Well, it is, because it's very regressive, because poor people end up paying a lot more of their income in value-added tax than rich people.
Like,
but it also
like radio talk show hosts, those kind of things.
Small businesses too are disproportionately hurt by it because it's added in at each stage and it cascades down. Small businesses develop a huge compliance burden.
It's unbelievable.
Because what happens is, you know, if you buy something apart to put into something that you're building, you pay the VAT, but then you pass on the cost of it to the next stage until it gets to the retailer, and you get rebated so you don't end up double paying. But in order to do that, you have to document at every stage
and
what you paid and what you deserve back.
Brian, we're already have double the compliance costs per employee per year of big companies. We can't stand any more compliance costs.
No, and people who advocate a value-added tax or a national sales tax will say 97% of it is collected by, you know, the Walmart at the end. But what they ignore is everything that everybody has to do along the way, because, you know, Walmart may sell the final good, but there's a zillion businesses behind that, all of which are then going to have to, you know, very often just to start a business, you have to put up a bond. You basically have to post money to the government to make sure that you pay your value-added tax along the way. And
it will
for
be
small
very
businesses
detrimental
especially,
to
it's very hard on them.
It'll be very
it makes
detrimental
it harder to start a business. It makes it harder to keep it going.
What, Brian, I've only got about a minute. What it makes with Europe in disarray right now, based on their policies, based on the socialist types of policies that they have that they've had for the last 40 or 50 years, and the chickens have come home to roost on all that right now, and that's what they're dealing with, all this sovereign debt as you alluded to earlier.
Yeah.
What makes people in the United States nostalgic for that? Can you explain that to me?
I think that people see the benefits, but they very often don't see the costs. You know, I remember friends of mine who went over to Europe for a year abroad when they were students, and they said, you know, this is great, and the health care is free, and but they don't get inside it. They don't see what it's like.
Well,
to
now,
start a business
but see,
in
now
Europe,
we can see that. Now we can see these chickens coming home to roost. How the sovereign debt is hurting those countries, folks. We've got to be vigilant about this. This is coming. I'm afraid it's coming, and we're going to get Brian Carney to continue to help us keep up with all these things. Brian, thanks for being here today. Will you come back another day?
Always, Jim. Thank you.
WallStreetJournal.com, I know, is the website. Freedom, Inc. is the book, and it's an important one, folks. Check it out. Brian, thanks for being here. Got to take a quick break. I'm Jim Blasingham. I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.